As I've said, today is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and this is also the last Sunday where you can hear all about this restart message. We've been joining together from the beginning of the Lent in this series of sermon inspired from Bishop Dari Escobedo's book, Restart Your Church. And I said at the beginning of my message about 5 weeks ago that God is desperately want a restart in our lives. Amen? He wanted us to have this clean slate, a whole new beginning. Because God is interested in our future more than He is interested in our past. And same true with this church. He calls us for some kind of a reawakening, a reimagination of God's possibilities for God's church, most especially in such a time as this. And so we're coming now into this last of the series of sermons on restart. And we're going to be coming in next Sunday on this, immersing ourselves into the Holy Week moment experience, leading us into the resurrection stories. So let's pray. Thank you, God. And thank you for inviting us to your sacred ground to listen and to ponder and reflect upon your word. Help me, O God, to be your conduit, that may your words be spoken today. Remove me from the equation, Father God, and may your name be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we near the Holy Week, we arrive in Jerusalem with Jesus in this gospel reading, in this gospel of John. And this story is Jesus' final public teaching. I want you to hear this. This is Jesus' final public teaching in the gospel, delivered to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And this story happened after Jesus' triumphant entry to the holy city, which we're going to be remembering next Sunday. So just picture this with me now. There's a great crowd shouting Hosanna, waving their palm leaves. And I think it runs by hundreds and hundreds of people coming together. I said this in my previous preaching, that the whole image of this big gathering or feast was like state fair multiplied 10 times. So just imagine how many people come in state fair here in North Carolina. Probably 20,000 or 30,000. So that must have been probably this one, maybe more than 100,000 people converging in one place at the temple. So they're all shouting Hosanna and waving their palm leaves. And some on the crowds who meet Jesus here in the story, they were extension of those who just went to see Lazarus. What happened to Lazarus, by the way? What did Jesus did with Lazarus? He raised him up. So these are the crowds who witnessed a few sections before John 20 or John 12. That was the raising of the Lazarus. So the same crowd are coming and they're witnessing this event. And then Jesus finally here arriving in Jerusalem in verse 12. And he continues to attract a huge crowd that causes a lot of big concern and fear among the Pharisees. For we all know that every time Jesus showed up, something happening. He was being labeled as the troublemaker. So when Jesus showed up, the Pharisees are restless and they are keeping an eye on him. And they said on verse 19, if you happen to see the verse before verse 20, what does it says there? Look, the world has gone for him. Or the world has gone after him. That's the text from New Revised Standard Version. It's like the whole world is coming to Jesus. And here now we come on verse 20. I want you to listen again to what the Bible says here. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, what did he say there? Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Here we are, the world is focused on Jesus to such an extent that even the Greeks are anxious to lay eyes on him. Because to tell you the truth, he was very popular at that moment in time. They want to see Jesus. They probably already heard a lot of amazing things happening that Jesus had done. And some of the Greeks says to Philip, we want to see Jesus. But according to biblical scholars, not only Greeks wants to see Jesus, there were also Galileans and Judeans who wants to see Jesus. And they're not only interested in seeing him, but they want to believe in him. Because of what he had done, he had a great track record up to this point. He cleansed the temple. Do you remember that? He turned the water into wine. He healed the little boy. He fed the multitude, 5,000. According to biblical scholars, the number was just the men. They did not count the women and the children. He gave sight to the blind and raised Lazarus. Just a few hours before that John 12 happened. So they want to really see Jesus. Don't we have reasons for also wanting to see Jesus today, church? Are you looking for Jesus? Or are you looking for something else? And if you see Jesus, where do you see him today in your life? You know, there are times that we want to see Jesus on our own terms. Don't we fall into that mindset? Sometimes we want something from Jesus more than we want Jesus himself. There's a real danger here because we pick and choose what we like and what we want. But we skip over and leave behind what we do not like, what we do not want, and what we do not understand. Reverend Michael Marsh, he said it, and I quote, Christianity is neither a buffet nor a spectator sport. Christianity means participation in the life, in the death, and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the reason why Jesus wants the Greek to know that. That's the reason why Jesus wants others to know when they see him. They don't want to see what he does or what he did, but who he is and who he was. Don't we want to see Jesus? Or do we want to see Jesus just based on what we need or what we want? And here in this text, Philip tells Andrew about the Greeks and their requests. And Philip and Andrew tells Jesus. And here's how Jesus responded when this was brought up to his attention. Verses 24 to 25. Listen again. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat what? Falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears what? Bears much fruit. This is a red letter in the Bible. When it's a red letter, what does that mean? This is actually what Jesus said. What does Jesus mean, dear? What is he trying to say? There are three things that I feel and I believe what Jesus is trying to say here based from our study of the Word of God today. First, what he's trying to say is that if we really want to see Jesus, we must look at death, or we must look death in the face. I know we have experienced losing a loved one. I know we have seen it and feel it. But there's still a part of us that is still in denial, right? Come on, church. We're still wanting to, as much as possible, not or to refuse to acknowledge the reality of death to the degree that we even avoid and deny the death. We're holding on as much as possible to live on this side of life. That's why we We do everything we can, right? To take care of our health. And that's good. That's very important. You know, I love to be in the exercise class. That's the reason why we need those kind of things. We want to hold on. But to avoid and to deny death, it's like you are also refusing to see Jesus. Really looking at and acknowledging and facing death is some of the most difficult work we ever do in this side of life. It is, as Jesus describes, soul troubling. It shakes us to the core. And there's a temptation to skip over death and get to the resurrection part. That's just our human nature. And sometimes when we go to the hospital, we just want to go to the birthing unit. Don't we like to be on the birthing unit, right? Whenever we see something on social media, on Facebook, we just want to see, oh, we celebrate with the birth of a new child, a birthday and anniversaries, all the new things, all the good things. But we went to the gritty reality of the death and the dying. That's where it hits us to the core. And I've been there. I have seen the hard part of it. It's still in my psyche. It is still in my memory. Living it now. When my sister passed away right in front of me. When I've seen my father pass away. When I've seen my brother-in-law pass away. There is always a temptation for us not to see or not to look death in the face. It is no coincidence that this week the lectionary points us towards on this text and towards Holy Week to remind us that the death, and from Michael Marsh, I quote him here, death is the gateway to new life. Amen? It is the death that brings us to new life, but death comes first. I know that's how morbid or sounds down, but we got to face that. And that's what Jesus is trying to say to the Greeks, to the Gentiles and Judeans, and whoever is going to be seeing him at that moment in John 12. In order for you to see me, you got to see death head on. But the other point that he's saying here on this text on John 12, not only that we must look death in the face if we want to see Jesus, but also we have to see death, not just as a physical death, but even more importantly, spiritual death or emotional death. Did you know that we die 1,000 deaths each day? There's what you call the death of relationships, the death of marriages, the death of hopes, the death of careers, the death of health, the death of beliefs. And we've seen this more magnified during the more than 3 years that we've been in a pandemic. I mean, the death of just stopping to worship in person. And everything was put into halt. And regardless of what it looks like, the Bible reminds us and this gospel reminds us that that is not the end of the story. Amen to that, church? Resurrection is always hidden within death. There can be, however, no resurrection without death. And reflecting on the necessity of death, Jesus here likens it to a grain of wheat being sown and buried in a grave of soil and compost, where what it is as a kernel is transformed into what? Into a new life. I'm sure many of you can familiarize with this, having your own little garden. When that seeds be thrown into the soil, it dies, but at the same time, it brings new life. Through dying, it produces life. Unless a grain, wheat, falls into the earth and dies, this is what Jesus says, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears what? It bears much fruit. That leads me to the final point. That if we want to see Jesus, we're not just talking about facing the reality of death head on. Not only that we see death more than a physical death, but last point that I want to make is that there is what you call a growing pattern of loss and renewal here in the Word of God. The dying and the rising, the letting go and getting back, the living and the returning. Something dies and something is born. Have you been there, church? It's like the cycle of life. It's the core of what we believe. From the moment that we were baptized, I heard many ministers say these words from Apostle Paul as they lowered the person under the water, which, by the way, we will experience that by the grace of God on Easter Sunday. We heard this word, buried with Christ in baptism and being raised to walk in the newness of life, Romans chapter 6. It is what we declared on a given Sunday, on the Eucharist, on the Great Thanksgiving, when we said this word, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come back again. The pattern of dying and rising, loss and renewal, letting go and getting back, living and returning are vivid in our everyday walk of life and also in our spiritual journey in Christ. So the question for us this morning, what in your life you need to let go of today? What might you need to leave behind? What needs to die in your life today so that something new can arise? What needs to die so that new life can come in and through you? Seeing Jesus is not an spectator sport. It is a way to be followed. It's a truth to be embodied, a life to be lived. It's being a grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies so that it might bear much fruits. That's where we see Jesus. That's the letting go. That's the emptying. That's the leaving behind and the dying that makes space for new life to arise. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we enter a week from now into the Holy Week, may we see Jesus in a whole new way and experience what he'd been through. For after all, again, from his words in John 12, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. May your life be purposeful and meaningful so that even in the midst of dying moments, we can rise up again. And may this church experience that as well in the giving up of some of the things that we hold here so that new things can come up. Let us pray. This week is not going to be an easy week as we begin to journey to enter into the Holy Week, beginning with the Palm Sunday. And this text has been very relevant for us today, Father God, to recognize the power of your sacrificial giving of your life. In this pattern of loss and renewal and dying and rising and letting go and getting back, leaving and returning, may we experience the grace and the gift of your promise to us that you will be remaining steadfast to us in this journey. May we hold on to our faith as we see you, Jesus, not just according to our terms, but according to your will. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen.